The maimer we're going to learn today was delivered by the Rebbe on Shabbos Parsha Shmois. The date was the 23rd of Tevis, and it was of Shabbos and Vorchim. The year is Tovshin Mem Zayin, which would be, I think, January of 1987. The maimer opens with a quote from the Haftorah of Parsha Shmos. Haboyim Yashresh Yaakov. The word haboyim means coming. So the coming of the root of Jacob, which Yashresh is more like a verb, like taking root. Yotze Sufarach Yisrael. So Jacob comes and takes root. Jacob then buds and blossoms. That's the meaning of Yotze Sufarach. A perech is a flower and a tzitz is a bud or a bulb. So Jacob takes root. Israel flowers or blossoms. Umalu pnei tevel tenuva. And then the entire panorama is filled with produce. Umavur b'mefarshim. The commentaries on this verse in Isaiah, in the 27th chapter of Isaiah, beginning with Rashi, explain that the word haboyim yashresh, that word is related to the same word that's found in the beginning of this week's Torah portion in Parsha Shmois, where it says, v'yelo shmois b'nei Yisrael haboyim mitzrayma. So there's this notion of haboyim, that Jacob is coming and taking root, and the commentaries point out that the word haboyim shares corollary with the same exact word that shows up in the beginning of Parsha Shmos. So Isaiah 27, Exodus 1, they share a common root or a common word, and the word is haboyim. These are the children. These are the names of the children of Israel, haboyim, who are coming into Mitzrayim. In other words, that in this pasuk, we speak about the coming of the Jewish people into Mitzrayim. So this is not just a game of Scrabble. We say, oh, well, look at that. You got haboyim here and haboyim there. So we create juxtaposition between two words. It's not parallel words. It's parallel ideas. The words are only indicative of the concept. And therefore, since the pasuk, the verse in the beginning of Exodus, speaks about the Jewish people, or the family of Jacob coming down into Egypt, is the idea of the descent into the exile. So too, the pasuk, the verse in Isaiah, must be referencing the same concept, the notion of our going into exile. So we have a diuk from the Alter Rebbe, who's the Baal Hilula. Chav Gimel Tevis is Erev the Hilula of the Alter Rebbe, which this week falls a few days later. And his Sefer Terer, which the Rebbe notes that there is a mimer and an explanation on the mimer. And then there are many maimorim from the Rabbeim subsequent that deal with this pasuk and deal with this juxtaposition and corollary that's found between the beginning of the book of Exodus and Isaiah 27. And the diuk is that really, what is the connection between the two? I mean, I know we have a word, we have a common word, fine. So if you want to play, you know, Scrabble, you can hit bingo. But like, what is the connection between Haboyim, Yashresh Yaakov? What is the link, conceptually speaking, between the seed or root of Jacob coming, which Isaiah speaks about, and the beginning of Exodus, which is a clear narrative, a recapitulation of here's what happened before we begin the story of bondage and slavery. Here's how the Jewish people descended into the land of Egypt. So what's the connection between the two? We also require a little bit of elucidation about this verse itself, because this verse seems to address itself in three stages. Stage one is Yashresh Yaakov. Stage one is root. Jacob takes root. Stage two is Yotze Tzufarach Yisrael. Israel blossoms. Jacob takes root. Israel blossoms. And then stage three, Uzomole Pnei Tevel Tenuva, that the entire panorama or area is now filled with produce. So we have to understand, what are the three stages? What's stage one, stage two, and stage three? What's the stage of Jacob taking root, Israel blossoming, and then everything is filled with a yield and a produce? And finally, the last thing we're going to try to understand is why stage one that speaks about taking root references Jacob, stage two that speaks about blossoming references Yisrael, Israel. So why would you use two names in the same pasuk? And it seems as if somehow one stage leads into the next. So the thing is like this. this pasuk, this verse, actually speaks about more than going into Mitzrayim. The Rebbe says that based on the teachings of the previous Rebbeim, that we understand this pasuk to refer to the concept of Yiridus Hanashama Beguf, the descent of the soul into the body. So in other words, the business of going down into Mitzrayim is also an illustration of the neshama coming down into a guf, the soul leaving its lofty vantage point and assuming a corporeal existence. Which this is described in the words of our sages, to paraphrase the Gemara in Masechet Chagiga, on the end of page 4, that it says it's a yerida, it's a descent, me igra rama, from a lofty mountain peak, lebira amikta, to a deep, deep valley. And the Rebbe points out that the yerida that we talk about here is mimokim kazeh, it's from the kind of place that's lemaila migeder igra. It's not just a mountain peak, it's not just a summit. It's igra rama, it's an extraordinary, a mountain amongst mountains, the summit amongst summits. And the descent is down into a place. It's not just a bira. It's not just a valley. It's not just lowlands. This is like bira amikta, a deep, deep gorge. In other words, with this kind of phraseology, what we're clearly describing is a yerida gedolah shel berach, an extraordinary fall. This is not just rolling hills. This is not even the rises and rests of typical terrain. This is an enormous descent from the greatest of heights to the greatest of depths. And what is the point of this extraordinary fall, this unbelievable descent? The ultimate purpose, the goal of this, is for the purpose of an ascent. The descent is for an ascent. Specifically, this lower world, it's only this world that is totally and absolutely devoid of overt or obvious godliness. This world that is constantly being fueled, empowered, animated, and brought into existence by God each and every single moment. And yet, a world which by its own devices, in and of itself, if one could analyze and one could keep their eyes wide open, they could see absolutely nothing. And many people who analyze the natural sciences come up with the conclusion that there is no God. Even though they could see nuclear physics, and even though they could see energy, and even though they understand that the cosmos are interlocking and there's billions and trillions of... So what? This, only in this world is this possible. There are no atheists amongst the angels. There are no atheists in higher worlds, only in this world. So this is like an unbelievable descent. The neshama is coming to the place where God isn't in the picture. But the interesting thing is, it's only in this world, which is so low, that there's a direct connection to Atzmusa Yimahusa Yisbarach, to the essence of divinity, She'ein lo yilu v'siva shekodim lechas v'sholom, because the essence of divinity has no, so to speak, higher authority. It doesn't come, there's no cause. It is the ultimate cause. It doesn't have any cause. So all of the spiritual worlds have causes. Everything causes. There's a cause and effect. And it's a cascading kind of cause and effect from level to level, from higher level to lower level. But at the root of it all, at the source of it all, at the pinnacle, or if you will, at the center of it all, there's the essence of God himself. Kimavur B'kam Mekem has explained in many places that the essence of divinity is only reflected in this world. In other words, the notion that our world can actually suffer atheism, our world can even encourage atheism, that's the biggest proof that this comes from God. Only God could do something like that. Only God could create a world and cover his footprints and foot tracks so absolutely. And it's specifically this world that feels absolutely no allegiance to any kind of previous cause in which the deepest essence of divinity is reflected. And this, my dear friends, is the meaning of Habayim coming to take root. Shadafke b'mitzrayim. Which Mitzrayim, amongst all of the world's geography and amongst all of the world's philosophical outlook, if you will, that Mitzrayim represents the tachten shein lamata mimeno, the lowest of the low. It don't get lower. That's what Egypt. Egypt was the height of denial of God's presence. The Pharaoh said, "God, I made denial. Liar, ani asasini. I made denial. I am God. I created myself. I created all of you. Only in Egypt could this fly." and this kind of low reality that the neshama falls into, so this is a tachten shein tachten lamata v'menu. And therefore, going back to the way we're understanding this verse, haboyim yashdesh yankev, that haboyim coming down and taking root, which refers to the descent of the neshama down into the body, is also the idea of haboyim mitzrayimah, coming down into Egypt. Because coming down into Egypt represents the greatest and the tightest form of limitation or stricture insofar as God's presence is concerned. And that comes down into the lowest level. B'tachten shein tachten l'matei menu. Nimtza, so we find ourselves then, ha-shedesh v'ha-ikir, that this world is the shedesh, it's the root source of everything, and it's the primary focus of everything. In other words, why did God create the whole universe from a Torah perspective? What did God create it for? What do you need galaxies and stars and planets, billions and trillions? What is it for? So we believe that it's all about the Torah being given and creatures who have the intelligence to go and rebel against God, choosing instead to express their love and loyalty to God. And in order for this world to be the kind of place in which we could deny the presence of God, God creates an enormous, enormous cosmos, which is mind-blowing, which makes us say, this world is just a figment. It's a tiny speck of dust, and it really is a tiny speck of dust. And yet this is the speck of dust that everything was created for. It's not just intelligent life. We don't just have cockroaches here or even orangutans. Here we have human beings. Human beings were endowed with a neshama, which is a piece of God. And all of the overwhelming, enormous nature of the cosmos, the physical cosmos, is dwarfed by the spiritual worlds. And all of that was created so that a neshama should occupy a body and do a mitzvah. And that's what it's all about. And that's where the essence of God is reflected. In the language of the Zohar, ikra v'sharsha dekoila, it is the root and it is the primary essence of everything. And now the Rebbe says something mind-blowing. The Yesh Leimar, the Rebbe says, it seems that there are actually beis inyanim, two ideas that are being conveyed in the words of the Zohar, ikra v'sharsha. Now, I want to emphasize that for the last, 2,000 years since the Zohar has been written, people read and understood the terminology ikra v'sharsha as one and the same. Until the Rebbe came along in 1987, and he said, no. Ikra v'sharsha has two messages. What's the two messages? Number one, shehu shedesh hakol, that this is the source of everything, the root of everything. Number two, shegam la'acharei shakol nimtza, that after everything is there, harehu ikar hakol, it remains the primary essence of everything, which is not so simple. There are many things whose raison d'etre was one, and then the primary focus is another. There's the root, there's the source, there's what caused maybe a certain kind of behavior, but that's not what we're doing now. There are a lot of things that people do, and you say, why did they start doing this? I say, well, they started doing this because of A, B, C, or D. And why did they keep doing it? Oh, actually it has nothing to do with the original reason. It's just originally people started doing it for one reason, and then they began to do it for another reason. Here's a stupid example. There are buttons on every jacket. Every man's jacket has buttons. You know why there are buttons here? Useless buttons. If you want to wear a really fancy custom suit, they actually have buttonholes where they open and close. What is the point of that? So that really, today, primarily, is a fashion statement. Why having useless buttons on the end of your sleeves are fashion? It's a very good question, but that's what it's become. If you don't have buttons on your sleeves, something is weird. Either you're starting a new fashion, or you're not in fashion, something is missing. The suit looks strange. But actually, originally, apparently, there were people who performed surgery, they still wore their jackets, and they needed to kind of roll their sleeve back. So they had these buttons, and they would open up the buttons, and they would roll it back, and this way they could do surgery and get their hands bloody without ruining the suit. I know it sounds absolutely ridiculous, but that's what I heard on good authority. That's how the buttons got there. So there's the root, how it started, and then there's what it is now. What it is now has nothing to do with what it was. There are so many examples of this. You know, let's use another lame example. The famous Reichman family, they sell tiles. Olympia in York, they sell tiles. That was their root business, I think. That's where they began their endeavors, their financial endeavors, their business began in the tile business. They were making tiles, manufacturing tiles, selling tiles, something like that. At some point, that was not their primary source of income anymore, right? The Rechman companies, whatever they were, world-famous billion-dollar corporation. Yes, they still sell tiles. Olympia and York, they never close it down, and it's, a lot of people have Parnassa. It's a wonderful thing, and they're still doing this. But that's not only not the root source anymore. It was the root. It was the original foundation. That's what everything was built on, but it's no longer the primary function or focus of the company. I can give you 1,000 examples of this. The point is that very, very often in life, personally, nationally, globally, things start one way, and then the primary has nothing to do with the foundational. It was one thing that started, and then it became something else. So the Rebbe says that, why did God create the world? What was the purpose of doing all this? Why did God create all the spiritual cosmos and then followed by the material cosmos? What was the purpose of it all? The purpose was planet Earth should be created. And then there's something else being said. Not only are we the cause of it all, but continue to be the primary focus of it all. And now the Rebbe translates this into our own personal Avodas Hashem. Listen to this. Inyan ze yeshnen gam bepratius ba'avodas haneshama lamata. This idea also expresses itself in our own personal journeys, in our own personal development. She'ikir mailas ha'avoda hu ba'avoda hachi tachten. That the primary, or let's say, the source, the root source of primary essence of Avodas Hashem, of our service to God, is the deed. Doing what Hashem wants, just behaving in the right way. Which this is called Bechinas Yirat HaTorah. That's called a lower level of reverence or respect. So if I respect God, I have to do what God asks me to do. If God tells me to have a certain diet or to follow a certain work schedule, I have to do that because I respect God, because I'm in awe of God. Or maybe it's just Kabbalas Oil. I'm obedient. God said do this, I will do it. Ukumavur Betanya. Like it explains in Tanya, that this kind of awe, reverence, this kind of obedience, this acceptance of the will of God, he reishis ha'aveda, it's the beginning of the aveda, and then the Alter Rebbe in Tanya uses the Zoharic language. He says, v'ikra v'sharsha, and it is primary and it is root. Here we have the same two ideas showing up, same two ideas. Besides the fact that this is the root, that's where it all comes from. Whether you say this is how we got the Torah to begin with, where God says, will you take a Torah? And we said, yeah, we'll do it. Nasa, we'll be obedient. We'll do everything God wants. And then the Nishma, that even later on when there's a Nishma, and even when there's an understanding and an appreciation and an apprehension and a grasp, even then what remains still, not only the root, but what still remains primary? What still remains primary is the nasa, the doing. Besides the fact that this is the foundation, a child has to grow up knowing that this is the right thing to do and this is how he should behave. And from this comes all the details. Even afterwards, when somebody grows up and he's wise and discerning and intelligent and understanding, he's got a whole structure, a whole gestalt. This is a person who is very much involved in his Judaism. He has a deep sense of knowledge and education. He has a strong sense of affiliation. He relates to this. He appreciates it. He's into it. And even so, all that is already developed. But the awe and the reverence, the obedience still remains not only the root, but it still remains overwhelmingly primary. Going back to the Zer, Ikra v'sharsha l'kula. In other words, Leidak sharsha l'kula. Not only is it the root of it all, Elagam Ikra l'kula. It's the primary essence of it all, continuously. Do you want to bring forth the essence of God into your life? If you said yes, there's only one way, and that is by learning Hashem's Torah and doing Hashem's mitzvahs. Not in theory, in practice, actualizing it. So if you're going to meditate all day and be very spiritual, that's nice, but that's not going to bring you the essence of divinity. Because God didn't ask you just to meditate all day, Rather, ha'maisa hu ha'ikar. The main thing is the deed. That is our creed. And therefore, the only way to get the essence of God is by actually doing the mitzvah. This is alluded to in the name Jacob, which the name Jacob in Hebrew, Yaakov, is Yud, is the letters Yud and Ekev. So Yud represents Hayud Shalamata Mata. The Yud can go down to the lowest level. In other words, the Yud that goes all the way into the Ekev, the Yud that goes all the way into the heel, or the sole, meaning the foot. So that is to say that Yud represents humility and subservience. Yud is the smallest and tiniest letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And yet, that Yud is brought down into the lowest common denominator, the boots on the ground. This could be the explanation. That the reason that Yira Tachtena, the lowest form of reverence, the lowest form of obedience, meaning the most base, the most essential part of our Yiddishkeit, remains the primary, not only the root, but the primary. Why is it that should be most important is the action, what I do, rather than what I'm thinking and how I'm feeling, is because that which comes from a loftier place ends up in a lower place. Like the famous metaphor, if you have a wall that collapses, the highest bricks end up furthest away from the foundation, and they'll also be most damaged by the fall. When it comes to reverence or awe, all reverence, all kind of awe is ultimately linked. One cascades into the other. That if you kind of go into the epicenter of the lowest form of reverence or awe, what do you find? You'll find the highest form of reverence. Reverence is reverence, respect is respect. There could be various levels of why somebody respects, but ultimately they're all interconnected. Even though the Yud is primary, even though that's what it's all about, which now we understand the first segment of the Pasuk, the first stage is Haboyim Yashresh Yaakov. Haboyim Yashresh comes from the word root, but root means the essence, what remains primary, and that's the idea of Jacob, the Yud and the Ekev. And it's very nice that you're doing everything you're supposed to do. You cross all your I's, you dot all your I's, you cross your T's, you're doing what Hashem asked you, Bepoel Mamash. In a matter of fact, that's great. But now what we need is that this should also fill the bigger picture. In order to the bigger picture, the bigger vision, the bigger desire that God has that this world should reflect the truth of divinity, when there was this descent of the neshama, it came in all levels. And because it's a descent, an overall descent. Any maspik inyan hashoydesh va'ikir. It's not enough. So I'm doing what I have to do. Where's your heart of mind? Oh, forget it. Don't even ask. What are you passionate about? Not Yiddishkeit. But don't worry. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. My Orthodox checklist is intact. I checked every single box. I did every single mitzvah. I'm doing all the right things. Where are you? Where's the person? Me? I'm not into this. But I'm doing it. I go through emotions. We said, that's not right. That's not why the neshama came down, only to go through the motions. You have to get that aveda. You have to be subservient to God. You have to toil and make efforts to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on all levels. This is the second part. This is the blossoming of Israel. So just like Yaakov is Yud Ekev, now we take the Shedesh, we take the root, what's primary, which is the deed, and we say from that root, Acharkach, Nasa Acharkach has to come afterwards, Pricha, the blossoming. From the root must come the flowers and the blossoms. The Tzmicha, the development, the growth of Kol HaPratim, all the details. And that's what Yisrael is about, right? Yud is Yud Ekev. Yisrael is the letters scrambled, Li Rosh, for me, a head. And also comes from the terminology of Sarisa, to contend or serve him, Elikim V'manoshim V'tuchal. In other words, Shayya Sarisa, that you should contend or ultimately to subdue and dominate, to be a balabos over mortal creatures and divine creatures. Shakaivishaisam, that a person is able to harness, to subdue, to in a sense sublimate all of this. The Isa Isam Ladira Leizbarach. He turns all of that into a dwelling place for Hashem. So stage one was the concept of the root, Jacob takes root. That was the idea of the root and the source of everything. Stage two is where we start to see a blossoming in all areas. And then, my friends, come stage four. Stage three. What's stage three? Inyan ze eini maspek. Here I have my essence, my foundation is in place. I know what it's all about. It's all about doing the mitzvah. I get all that. Not only that was the root of everything, that continues to remain. No problem, I get that. And now I understood that it's not enough for me just to go through the motions and do the mitzvahs. I actually have to change myself as a person. I have to become elevated as a person. There has to be a blossoming in the whole Yisrael gestalt. Now, says the Rebbe, it's not enough to remain in your own personal reality. Ki efshar, it's possible, shubah avaydazu, tiyah b'dal adama shol tefillah b'eretz Yisrael. Somebody should remain in the shul. He should remain cloistered in his environment of holiness. And he's serving God. He's doing the mitzvahs and he's transforming himself. Or he's maybe in Eretz Yisrael, in the Holy Land of Israel. But what about the rest of the world? We don't have anything to do with the rest of the world. This is about self-development. This is about self-preservation on a spiritual level. No, says the Rebbe. Tachlas hakavana is la'aseh sasa'ilam kula l'dila yisbarach. It's not enough for you to do what's right. The world has to be right. And that's stage three. Molo p'nei tevel t'nuva. P'nei tevel represents the big, the wide open world. The entire horizon. That has to be filled with produce, with growth as well. So in yinzen nimshor b'chala ilam. It's called tevel. Tevel means the fullness of creation. Uba'ifen de umilu, that you fill that fullness in the way of tenuva. Which, what is tenuva? Tenuva, which means delightful produce, a delightful harvest. Kimavur badrushim, the tenuva is also the aseus of tevuna, which tevuna means understanding. And that refers to the sphere, the sphere or level of bina, of understanding. It also comes from the terminology, it has the same Hebrew letters as tenuba, place in it. Tenu is a permutation of nesina, of giving. And we know that this is the verb of the noun matana, of a gift. And the Gemara tells us in Halacha that when you sell, when there's a business transaction, so we have to look at what was sold, what wasn't sold. We can't assume that everything was included. If it wasn't in the contract, it's not included. But when you give a gift is different. The person who gives the gift gives it benevolently. When you give. Now the shleim is hamshacha. So therefore, now we understand the three stages. We understand the difference between Yaakov and Yisrael. And we understand ultimately how this business of going down into Mitzrayim is symbolic of sinking deeper roots. And the idea of the deeper roots ultimately represents the essence of Yiddishkeit, which is not only the root of it all, but continues to remain the primary overwhelming focus of it all. And we're really out of time, but the rest of the Maimer talks about the business of, goes back to Be'elu Habay Mitzrayma, and the Rebbe brings down a Medrash that he says that the Jewish people's names are enumerated not as going into Golos, but really Al-Shem Geulasan, because already in the beginning, going down into Golos, we're already talking about Geula, really, we're setting the stages for redemption. And he talks about this whole idea of how the entire Yerida is Letzerech Aliyah, how the entire descent is ultimately for a higher purpose, for a greater ascent, and that greater ascent punctuates life and existence and our experience from the very beginning. It's not just something that comes at the end, but this follows through all along, and the Rebbe says that has to be translated into a personal way, and he concludes with an ardent wish that Mashiach should come, and I want to thank everybody for joining us from all over the world and wish you all a good Shabbos. And finally, as the fiscal year is coming to an end, I'm going to ask all of you to please participate if you enjoy these classes all year. www.chabadflamingo.com/collab, collab with us, and help us finish the year on a fiscal high and begin the new one with a bang. Thank you.